Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
You know, Paul's just very passionate about this country.
And passionate about singing.
Is calling on our broadcast partner, the Space Cowboys, whose games you can hear on 92.5, to allow him to sing the national anthem.
For a brief period of time, due to my favorite movie growing up, still my favorite sports movie, but mainly because I enjoyed it so much growing up and I used to watch it a lot, Angels in the Outfield, for the longest time, I thought that Oh Say Can You See was Jose Can You See, because one of the characters in Angels in the Outfield says, Jose Can You See? It's about a Spanish guy?
So you actually thought it was the real thing?
For a brief moment in time, yes.
That's fine. We're talking about the worst national anthems ever, and we asked you guys. Now, the majority of you have said Roseanne.
Fergie.
Fergie's was pretty bad.
Roseanne.
The thing that made Fergie so funny was the reaction of Steph and Draymond and all the guys that were trying not to absolutely lose it.
Right. It made it worse, but, I mean, she was dreadful. And look, Roseanne was definitely mailing it in and probably doing it to just be a troll. Other people that we have heard do it that aren't professionals, say Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you expecting?
Carl is a great guy, by the way, and I've interviewed him a couple times. He's now the new head coach at University of Houston track and field program after Leroy Burrell left for Auburn, so that's an iconic program. He's certainly, as a former Olympian, really well-respected. But you can't talk about bad national anthems without talking about this.
All right, are we all ready?
Paul's never heard this, by the way.
This matters if you're passionate, okay? Yeah.
Let's cut it a little bit. It gets to the good part.
Oh, God.
That's... Oh, say, can you see?
Not bad.
And the rise.
Oh, God.
Red
oh, God. I remember this, actually. Come on.
I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
Oh, no. It wasn't feeling confident.
The best part was, I'll make up for it now. Like, you're in the middle of singing the national anthem.
I think if you're someone that's supposed to do it and you all of a sudden just completely start biffing, then that's a bad time. I feel like he got through it. I can't hate on that.
He did have fun with it. Does that mean it's not the worst because he was able to kind of joke through it?
I think the fact that Fergie is an actual singer makes
yes,
it worse.
Yes.
She gets paid to sing the national or to sing things. And Carl Lewis, you know, runs fast and now coaches people to run fast.
I was going through my Twitter earlier this morning, and my buddy Ryan Rocket, who used to produce my show over at the flagship, he tweeted out this video of Fergie at a concert.
Oh, no.
I don't know all the names of these singers / musicians in the Black Eyed Peas, but it was at the very end of a concert, and she basically started, like, having convulsions while she was, like, finishing it, and just like with Steph Curry and Draymond Green giving her looks, the guy in the Black Eyed Peas is like, what the hell is going on? As Fergie gets right in her face to sing like the last couple of notes of the song before like rolling over on the ground like a dog to the floor. And he's just looking at her with this bewildered look in his eyes. It's
you know
incredible.
What's really sad among some of the best singers, you have like Mariah Carey. You know, Fergie was good. Like she wasn't Mariah Carey, but she was good.
And then she died.
By the time that, yeah.
At right? The national anthem.
Oh,
the All-Star
no,
game.
Whitney Houston died.
Oh.
By the time they're in their like mid-40s, they've been singing so much since they were like 11 years old that they just lose their voice. Like Mariah Carey, if you've heard her perform actually live, not the lip-syncing BS, if you've heard her perform live, she doesn't have it anymore. And Fergie's the same way. I mean, she used to be pretty good. And then that national anthem, she also said some words wrong. In the national anthem that she did. I don't remember what they were, but they were like really, it was really awkward. Fergie might be the worst.
Texter 713-780-3776. No, no, no. No, no, no. Please stop for us veterans and patriotic people. Laughing emoji. So apparently John Granato sang it at a Rice baseball game.
Wait, can John Granato sing?
He's got a deep bass voice. I could envision that.
Did John Gernot, do we have that?
We got to find that.
I'll be searching the archive.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome. If so, wow. Steven Tyler, Indy 500.
You should know that one.
That was a, yeah, it wasn't great.
Well, and don't say that about my guy, Steven.
I love Steven Tyler, but it, you know, listen.
South Shore legend from Massachusetts.
Oh, is that from your, is that Southie?
No. That's south of Southie. If I had stayed in high school.
I hate it here. That's the most Boston thing ever.
It is south of Southie.
South of Southie.
South of Southie.
So Southie isn't the southmost place?
No, Southie is this like borough of Boston that has become very yuppie.
Oh.
But I was from south of that area, and had I stayed, if my parents didn't split up and I stayed in high school in Massachusetts, I would have been in the same grade as one of Steven Tyler's daughters.
Ooh.
And she was, no, her name is Chelsea.
It would have been game over for Paul Gallant.
No, I had zero chance. What are you talking about? I had zero chance. I would have been kicked out for being creepy, probably.
Liv Tyler, I think, is in her 40s.
Yes.
Most people on the text line are saying it's Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, I would.
But either way, congrats to Carl Lewis on taking over the track program.
Yeah, that's how we get back on
track. Sorry. I mean, it's like he is a legend.
Yeah, it's a tough name association that happened with. Congratulations to Carl Lewis. Hey, remember when Carl Lewis sang the national
but
anthem?
But when you
horribly?
Google
and then
his
I confused
name,
him with Mo Cheeks, that was funny too.
It's yeah, basketball coach. That was actually a really cute national anthem. She was flubbing it, and Mo Cheeks went and saved her. They ended up interviewing that girl 10 years later, and she's like, yeah, it was like the nicest thing ever. She was so young.
And she grew up to be Stacey Fergie Fergie.
And the Rockets.
Quick little Astros recap, guys. As we do talk about sports on this show, they lose last night 7-1. I'm sure a lot of you watched it. It was the Shohei Ohtani show.
Speaking of the national anthem, can we keep Shohei Ohtani out of our country? I'm kidding,
innings,
obviously.
Struck out 12 and drove in 2 with a triple. The Angels had 12 hits. The team combined for 32 strikeouts. Not the best night for the Astros.
He's so good. Oh, my God. I mean, he's going to win the MVP again. I'm already conceding. Yordan Alvarez for MVP. I mean, because he's injured now and because Ohtani, I mean, he mowed down 12 Astros at the plate and he's got the triple early on. I know it's annoying. The hype around him is annoying, but you know what? At least the hype around Shohei Ohtani is justified compared to that of Mike Trout, who as a very, very animated texter has been pointing out, Mike Trout's going to be the all-time strikeout leader. And this person compared the statistics of Jose Altuve and Mike Trout. And I want to give this guy a shout out. Here it is, the text that came in earlier, because he's been texting like all morning. Altuve is twice the hitter that Mike Trout is, but for some unknown reason, everyone loves Trout. They have played the same years. Trout has 1,490 hits, Altuve 1,875. Trout, 1,350 strikeouts, Altuve 850 strikeouts. I had no idea he had that many strikeouts.
Yeah, me neither.
So he's like a less winning Aaron Judge.
It was a really good observation from our texter. Sometimes you guys bring up things on the text line and the Twitch line that we don't exactly see. But the Astros, of course, play the Angels again tonight, and then they start a series eventually with the Oakland Athletics, and then they head into that All-Star break. We're hoping after the All-Star break, we have more news on Yordan Alvarez. Michael Brantley will be back, and there will be less games last night where they lose 7-1.
Yeah, losing 7-1. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but it's bad.
It is bad, but it's not a consistent pattern. I will say, like, the Astros have these weird games where they lose to bad teams. I don't like it.
I don't know.
But
should Dusty Baker be fired? Losing 7-1. Unacceptable.
ESPN personality over here. And you know what? We're going to talk about ESPN personalities. I'm glad you said that. Actually, I said it. But
that was the self-alley-oop of transitions.
You're so good. You've become so good at transitions that then you decided to pat yourself on the back for it before you even successfully made the transition.
We're going to talk about an article involving a certain ESPN personality that makes about $9 million a year.
Unbelievable how much
he
makes.
Is this dirty? Is this not dirty? We're talking, of course, about Adam Schefter. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, an epic answer when it comes to college realignment. And then we're talking about that ESPN personality. And are Houston drivers bad? It's basically a where's the beef segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Where's the beef? This is our Where's the Beef segment, and we're going to start with Mike Gundy, a man who's just as known for his mullet and extreme political views as he is for being a football coach. Talk to me. I'm a man. I'm 40, says the Oklahoma State head coach. Conference realignment has been a major topic of discussion ever since it was announced that USC and UCLA would join the Big Ten. How does this affect the Big 12 and other major conferences remains to be seen, but obviously it's going to be the beginning of a lot of changes. Here's Mike Gundy in a press conference regarding changes.
Well, the future in Bedlam is a year or two left. I mean, that's the future of Bedlam based on somebody else's decision. Recruiting for us hasn't really changed a lot. You know, it's interesting with young people now. I'm not sure. You might be able to take a poll of the top 250, 300 recruits in the country and ask them if they know, for example, you could throw out what conference is Purdue in or what conference is Wake Forest in. And I would say there's about a 50% chance they might not even know what the conference is. Young people live in certain worlds today, and essentially they want to know what you as a university and athletic department, as a football team and a coach, can do for them. That's what they're interested in. So other than that, our recruiting hasn't really changed since
So he's trying, and he's not terribly wrong about the fact that it's more selfish with recruiting now. But it was definitely an old man answer.
The random tangent into 50% of people don't know what conferences random schools are. Okay, yeah, Wake Forest, sure. Everyone knows who's in every single conference. You know how they know? It's because of the amount of money that one of these programs can offer these kids. You think they're not paying attention to that? Gundy's had a couple of these over the years where, like, the kids kind of takes, and it's annoying. As far as him talking about Bedlam, he says Bedlam's not going to exist once the Big 12 is done. I definitely think it's possible that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State won't play each other again.
That's a great rivalry.
It is. Those games are always on crack. It seems like they're generally in the hundreds of points scored every single time around. But, I mean, we haven't seen Texas A&M play in over a decade, so I don't think the idea of those two schools not playing each other for a long period of time is that off the table either, which is a bummer. He also joked that Texas and Oklahoma shouldn't be speaking at the Big 12 press conference. I couldn't find the audio of that, but I do think, Vanessa, that he does have a point. You got enough money if you're Texas and Oklahoma to just get out altogether.
Right.
Do you want to be in the conference for this awkward period where you're going to be playing against...
I thought it had to do with the TV deals.
I think it does, but I guarantee you there's a way that they can get out.
They would have to basically buy out their portion of the TV revenue. And the thing is, the number just goes down as you get closer to the end of the contract. So they're kind of just riding it out.
Let me ask you both this. Would you feel, as UT especially, would you want to even let the risk of playing University of Houston twice in football and losing to them twice in football happen?
Yikes.
I honestly wouldn't. I feel like it is possible.
Where's your hook'em, Sean?
I mean, this might be the most... But, I mean, all the Texas versus UH rivalry comes from, like, the Southwest Conference, which ended in, like, the early 90s. And I, to be perfectly honest, until realignment, did not even know that Houston and Texas
had
a rivalry.
It's for the old
whatsoever.
Don't even get me wrong. I don't even think it's a rivalry. I don't. And no offense, UH fans. But I think that the next 2 years, if you're UT, why would you want to risk further damage to the brand?
Because to me, and this might be a very 26-year-old UT fan answer of, they lost to Kansas when I was in college, and then they beat them on a last-second field goal the year after I graduated, and then they lost to them last year at home. So I think losing to Dana Holgerson's boys isn't more embarrassing than that.
But losing on your way out of the Big 12 to UH, I think it's bad.
Yeah,
I think it's bad for the brand.
It's a bad look. Bad for the brand.
I think it's possible.
I would say it's worse to go 5-7 in the Big 12, losing to West Virginia and Iowa State and Kansas.
Did that happen?
Yeah, they lost six straight games in the middle of last year.
Yikes. More beef, and it is between one of the baseball writers, John Hyman, and one of Paul Gallant's favorite people.
I didn't say
it. Want to explain this?
I was the professional one here. Okay, so I guess Ozzie Guillen and John Heyman have had beef for a while. And John Heyman suggested that a slight diss that Ozzie Guillen made of another manager. I want to say it was, I'm not 100% sure what the guy's name
was.
It was
Tony LaRussa.
It was Tony LaRussa.
Because Ozzie Guillen does the local, he's the Mike Stanton of Chicago White Sox broadcast.
Gotcha. Okay. So he's on the local Chicago White Sox broadcast, and he said this. And John Heyman accused Guillen of insulting Tony LaRussa because he wants LaRussa's job. Ozzie Guillen decided to take the gloves off and go after John Heyman on Twitter. And I got to say, even as someone who has been told in the past by Ozzie Guillen to grow the bleep up, mother bleeper, that I am on the side of Ozzie Guillen in this, because John Heyman is the epitome of insufferable, holier-than-thou, personality-less baseball writer. Here's what Guillen tweeted. My wife will be mad, but I'm tired of this liar talking about me. You're a jealous man that me, with bleep English, can do the job you do. All you do is lie about stories. I get paid to talk baseball just like you. I said I love Tony LaRussa, but I gave my opinion, and he knows how I feel. You always hate. Let's make it personal, continued Ozzie Guillen. I can't see any of John Heyman's tweets because he's blocked me again. But Ozzie Guillen challenged him to a boxing match. And I think the idea was that like the winner would donate money to charity or something like that. Heyman decided to suggest like, hey, let's each just pay $500 to charity and, you know, bury the beef. And I got to say, like, very classic move by Heyman, who is so holier than thou that he can't even get into the ring to fight for his honor. Sad.
And he blocked you.
He did.
This was probably the most popular beef from yesterday. So here's how the story goes. ESPN analyst Ryan Clark said that Lamar Jackson should be among the list of top 10 quarterbacks because we read that survey among GMs and players the other day. So Ryan Clark was saying he should. Former Raven and actually former Texan Bernard Pollard. Shout out to Bernard, who married a girl from Terre Haute, Indiana, the finest city in America. We were at a wedding together. Except for the meth. No top wide receiver will ever come to Baltimore. Well, actually, let me go back a little bit. I'm bad at telling this story. So Ryan Clark says Lamar Jackson should be in the top 10. Pollard says he's definitely a top 10 talent, but as far as a top 10 QB1 or QB, I don't see it. I do believe he should get paid by the Ravens and should get top dollar. So it wasn't really a mean tweet by Bernard Pollard. That one didn't spark a response from Lamar Jackson. However, Lamar then goes and criticizes another Bernard Pollard tweet. Pollard says no top wide receiver will ever go to Baltimore while LJ is there. Plenty of wide receivers have been available to get in the offseason while LJ has been starting. But nobody wants to go. They give him the respect, but they don't want to play with him. He's good, but he's not able to make the throws. That comment, for whatever reason, even though it's actually more factual than opinionated, absolutely set Lamar Jackson
wouldn't
off.
Wouldn't you get mad about that if you're Lamar Jackson and everyone's calling you out? I'm not justifying what Lamar Jackson did.
No,
I think he's acting
I
like
get
a weenie
it,
here.
But it's more of a fact that
it's a
they
fact.
haven't signed a top wide receiver.
Everything Pollard, who used to play for the Texans, said is a fact. And
you sound dumb AF, says Jackson. We'll wait and see if one replied Pollard, we'll wait and see if one signs.
Lamar Jackson's tweeting a bunch of for real, FR, FR, on God, no cap, probably too. I got to say, Lamar Jackson looks like a giant weenie.
He looks
in this.
Really sensitive.
Yeah, look, if you are under fire because people don't believe in your ability to throw the football and everyone's talking about your contract, the absolute worst thing you can do is decide to talk back and forth with a guy who actually won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. You might not have heard who he is, Bernard Pollard. You should have. The guy injured Tom Brady in 2008 after he had won, taking the Patriots to the Super Bowl for the 18-1 team. This is also a guy that he's come up a couple of times because he's injured major players.
Right.
He's known as a hard-hitting safety. His name was known in NFL circles. He is not a nobody, and he won a Super Bowl.
But that's what he tried to say. So Jackson went on to attack Pollard for being largely unknown, for missing a tackle in a Super Bowl, and said, and then found a video of Pollard dancing back in the day doing a split, saying, "I thought only cheerleaders did the splits, not players too."
Wow.
I like Lamar Jackson, but he took this so far.
I'm out on Jackson after this.
For a comment, I mean, if you're that sensitive to something that a former player who, like you said, a lot of quarterbacks, quite frankly, feared, and a lot of offensive players feared.
Yep.
If you're this sensitive, man, I don't know how you're going to fare.
Look, Derek Carr also has been sensitive historically, but to Derek Carr's credit, he actually has gotten a little bit better over the last couple of seasons. How much so? I mean, that's subjective. Lamar Jackson's won an MVP. I like him as a quarterback. I feel like sometimes it's overstated how bad he is with throwing the ball downfield. That said, everything Bernard Pollard said is true. And by the way, Hollywood Brown asked out of Baltimore this past season to go play with Kyler Murray. Not like it's Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or something like that. It was for Kyler Murray. We're not talking about that much of a difference in terms of overall talent, I would imagine, as far as quarterbacks go and where they rank in the grand scheme of things. Jackson looks like a wuss, really.
He does.
I mean, I'm out. I've always been a big Lamar Jackson stan. I'm out. This was a weak look.
This was really
Pollard
bad.
Pollard said nothing that was that bad, and he took it personally, and then he kept on coming back at Pollard and coming back at Pollard. And Pollard legitimately said facts.
I think Pollard is a married father of four who has better things to do than argue with Lamar Jackson, and he showed that. And the best thing you can do when somebody's arguing with you is just state a fact and then let them be emotional. And he basically did that. He was like, well, but you guys haven't signed a big-time wide receiver, so whatever.
They haven't. They really haven't.
They haven't. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk a little bit more about some beef subjects. Plus, it is time for our world-famous, knowledgeable, expert gambling segment. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, our Where's the Beef segment continues into this segment. Paul, you brought up one about Houston and drivers.
So, I was shocked by this. There was a list that was put together of the, I guess, best drivers in the country. The best drivers. Guess where Houston ranks?
What's that?
Ninth. I'm shocked. I mean, I guess, what do we do? Do we pat ourselves on the back
for
that?
No, I would think Houston has one of the worst. Have you ever experienced the amount of road rage people have here?
The amount of road rage, the amount of people that, let's be honest, don't have licenses to drive for a variety of different reasons. The guns that you may or may not encounter from time to time in the midst of said road rage incident. I can't believe it. And this same list in 2019, they were 12th. I'm sorry. No. Now, in this poll, or excuse me, this list that's put together at Quote Wizard, every city may think they have the worst drivers in the country, which might be true, but our annual report identifies the ones that actually do. So insurance quotes are a wealth of information for them about people in their past histories. There's a ton of uninsured motorists that drive here, though.
Right.
I'm really struggling with this. I have beef with this list. I don't believe it.
When I worked at a local news station, when I would come home from doing our late Sunday night show, because we were NBC, we went on after football, so it was like really late some nights. I would not listen to music and roll my window down so that I could hear the street racers, because I lived on Westheimer at the time. And every Sunday night, there would be street people drag racing on the streets. I don't believe that Houston has the ninth best drivers. That's insane.
That's how they went from 12 to 9.
Yeah.
Those street racers putting in extra reps on Sunday
nights. That extra work, though.
Yeah. Dom Toretto, babe. Yeah.
Hey,
family.
Article,
this is Westheimer.
One article
that
got...
Think about a street fight. The street always wins.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to see... I've never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
I'll have the tuna sandwich without the crust.
Is that from Fast and Furious?
Oh, yeah. I can keep going.
That was Paul Walker who said that.
Oh
wait. My bad.
Shout out to Paul Walker. Right. Paul Walker. Rest in peace.
Shout out to Paul Wall, too.
But what it do, baby? It's the Iceman, Paul Wall.
Could have made a joke. Did not make the joke.
So there are too people soon that are irritated with an Adam Schefter article that came out in Washington Post. I'm surprised, by the way. let me start out by saying that ESPN PR approved this article. I don't think it makes Adam Schefter look bad, but there are things revealed in this article that I don't know that I would want people knowing about the way that Adam Schefter operates. However, the article came out. It happened. Do you guys have beef with any of what I'm about to say? I'm going to highlight this this Washington Post article. Adam Schefter sends chocolates, Vineyard Vines ties, and scotch to certain sources throughout the year around Christmas time. Big deal or no big deal? Beef or no beef?
I read this and it sounds like he's spending five figures.
It was.
On all of this
stuff. It was about $16,000, I think.
Now, that's a lot. I mean, I'm not going to act like I know what a good box of chocolate costs. I know that a good bottle of scotch is probably going to cost you $100. I get it. I mean, this is how it's done. I've been just learning more and more about how the information brokers, don't call them reporters, the information brokers of the NFL operate. And Schefter's paid a ton of money to maintain these relationships. I'm not going to hate how he plays the game, but this is how the game has turned. And they have, at ESPN, made it so that news is not news unless Schefter reports it. And he maintains relationships with people that will feed him information by literally feeding them back.
He makes $9 million a year.
That's insane.
And his bosses value his time so much that they get him a driver to and from work so that he can break news on his way to work.
I mean, that I understand, actually. $9 million a year is more than all, but I think, five coaches in the NFL.
Wow. They say, though, the research shows that when he is on television, A, people watch the whole thing, and B, he will often provide a nugget on a slow day that fills their shows for the rest of the day, according to the Washington Post article.
It is amazing to see what someone's facial brand, if you will, can do for that person's credibility going forward. And I'm not going to name any names, but I've seen some people that have, say, lost their fastball. And you look at them and you're like, oh, but they are trusted implicitly because they are still this person. They have been billed as this person. And ESPN's done a great job with that with him. But you see that money that he's getting, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell would anyone want to be an NFL coach anymore if you could
right.
probably make a damn good amount of money and have a much cushier schedule being an NFL analyst? Say like a Rex Ryan right now. And of course you have the guys that are at the very high end of things, whether it's Tom Brady or Tony Romo, who are making a ton of money to not play football, to be broadcasters. But if you're Sean Payton, why the hell would you want to get back into the coaching game
and
when you're seeing Schefter makes
too.
That?
I mean,
yeah.
It's
the long
insane.
Hours are terrible.
Did he really break the Mario Williams news? The article says that he's
remember.
The one that broke that. All right. So, interesting article. I actually
argued he did not.
I actually highly recommend it because it is a really good insight. Some of his coworkers went off they were on the record, but went anonymous to talk about some of his controversies.
Oh, damn.
Shocker, some of his coworkers are not loving Adam Schefter's negotiation. All right, it is time for our world famous, knowledgeable, expert gambling segment. We talked earlier in the hour about the young Houston rookie that you were the most excited about. Jeremy Pena, of course, of the Astros. Derek Stingley Jr., top pick for the Texans. Or Jabari Smith Jr. of the Rockets. Let's go for odds for Rookie of the Year. Jabari Smith, odds to win NBA Rookie of the Year, currently at plus 460. Jeremy Pena, who is at a little bit of an advantage because we've already seen him play, plus 550 to win AL Rookie of the Year, and then Derek Stingley Jr. of the Texans, plus 900 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Which do you guys think is the most likely to happen in your mind?
Well, Pena is the one that's a finalist right now. Pena is behind Julio Rodriguez. That's really the only guy ahead of him. I don't see him overtaking Julio, though. I feel like Julio has this locked down. I suppose that if we're just playing percentages, okay, maybe Julio gets hurt, and that's how Pena can win the AL Rookie of the Year. That's essentially what you would be hoping for. Stingley at 9-1, essentially, to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, though, is intriguing. He would just need to have a ton of interceptions. you get him 6, 7, 8 interceptions or something like that, he should be able to win it. Because generally, defensive rookie of the year, who's it going to go to? It's going to go to a pass rusher, right, or it's going to go to a guy who has a ton of interceptions. So,
the thing that's interesting about Derek Stingley Jr., the plus 900 to win defensive rookie of the year, the division that he's in, the AFC South, is so bad.
Yeah.
Could he garner more of those interceptions because of the division he's in?
Matt Ryan's kind of careless. Trevor Lawrence is kind of careless. Ryan Tannehill's kind of careless. That's six games right now against quarterbacks that I don't think are very good at taking care of the football. So I think it's possible. Definitely. So I will, once again, I will take Derek Stingley. I also like the fact that it's 9-1.
Rookie of the year odds, Sean Mapes, when you see these numbers out of Vegas, what do you think?
I'm surprised that Jabari is the most likely, although, I don't know, maybe the people making the lines are the same people voting on the poll that Vanessa posted.
Holmgren and Banchero are 2-1, respectively.
That's what I'm thinking. Holmgren, Banchero, and I even think Jaden Ivey from Detroit,
yes,
has a, you know, solid chance.
I think he's 4.
Because with NBA Rookie of the Year, it's just how many points can you average? Nothing else matters. It's just average a bunch of points and you'll win it.
And I think what would work against Smith is that Jalen Green, year two, I would expect, with the way that Green finished out this past season, for Green to completely overshadow anything that Smith does.
That's a really good point, because he's still so young and that's the guy that they're building the team around.
Yeah.
So that might actually lessen Jabari Smith Jr.'s chances.
If you just think about it, he's going to average probably 20, 22 points per game, and then Jabari is going to probably be like in the teens.
Yeah, I would think like 12 to 13 or something like that, with a bunch of rebounds.
You compare that with, just say, Chet. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Thunder is probably going to be around the 20, high teens. And then Chet's going to be right up there, and Chet's probably going to average more than Jabari.
Holmgren has, I would say, a very dark horse chance of winning Defensive Player of the Year because of what a weird body he is, and I imagine people are going to challenge him a lot because he looks weird, and they're like, oh, look at this skinny little wuss.
He does. The look does not help him.
It doesn't, but it might. It might. I mean, the funny thing has been, and it's summer league, so we're talking about not good players, but people have been challenging him a ton in the summer league, and he's just rejecting them like over and over again. You would think that they would learn. Maybe NBA players will learn, but maybe they'll look at him and as we were saying, like, saying, oh, are you serious? This guy can't stop me. So I feel like because of that, like, I would definitely pick Holmgren if I have to pick from any of the NBA rookies as far as being the rookie of the year of this coming season.
It'd be interesting if Stingley did win defense. I mean, that would be one of the first things that Texans fans were really excited about concrete for a while.
Remember when Brian Cushing won Rookie of the Year and then it got taken away because he was doing PEDs, but then he still got it anyway? Hell yeah.
So I looked up defensive Rookie of the Years in the NFL. So for cornerbacks, 2017, Marshawn Lattimore, 2015, Marcus Peters. And then you have to go the way down to 1998. With Charles Woodson.
Wow.
So, damn, too Woodson recently, but for the most part, it does go to linebackers and defensive ends.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we close out our show with a little bit of NFL streaming news, plus, of course, our Garbage Time segment, and it involves one of your favorite heartthrobs from the 90s and an OnlyFans account. Whoa. So you're going to want to hear this. That's next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, rest in peace to DirecTV, because the NFL Sunday Ticket is going to be the biggest ticket in NFL broadcasting rights portfolio history, possibly. And it looks like Apple could be the leader. Now, Apple is in the sports game now. I'm not a fan of how they've handled MLB coverage.
What, I like the addition of one broadcaster in general to the broadcast. You're giving me crap.
Hunter Pence.
It's because
Houston legend.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's because you're horny for her. That's why you like the addition.
I'm not horny for Hunter Pence. Excuse you, stud muffin. I love all these studs in Houston. They're great.
I sound like
Jeremy
that.
Pena, what a stud he is. Oh my God, look at his body.
DirecTV to a streaming product. Roger Goodell said there should be a decision soon, but it seems like it's going to be Apple. Will you buy Apple TV for this.
So I actually already subscribe to the Apple service. Now, I don't know how this would work for the actual Sunday ticket. I'm imagining it's going to cost like $100 at bare minimum a season. But yeah, definitely. I don't even know how it works now. I feel like you can stream through DirecTV. You can stream NFL Sunday Ticket these days. But I'm not 100% sure of how it works. And people that are texting in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, you can let me know, us know, whether or not you can get NFL Sunday Ticket without actually having to have DirecTV and having one of those annoying satellites attached to your building. But, yeah, I'll get it, definitely. And I think I wish that we had had this in college, like, very badly. I so badly wish we had Sunday Ticket the ability to stream it. Because it was the only reason to get to DirecTV was because you wanted Sunday Ticket. Hey, you're somebody that that's from another city, that's living in another town. You want to watch your hometown team. Or maybe you're just crazy and want to watch as much football because you're a gambling degenerate.
It's one of those things that they know people are going to buy. Like, the NFL is supposed to launch an app that's going to be $5 a month. Everybody's going to download that app. Everyone's going to pay for it. Anything that the NFL does is nauseatingly successful?
It works, yeah.
So, yeah, I have no doubt that I'll buy this, that, and whatever the NFL does. Sean, will you buy the NFL Sunday Ticket on Apple TV?
No, because I have to imagine it's like hundreds of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you think buying that. Hundreds for the whole year?
At least, or maybe like 100 plus for the whole year, right?
Probably. I think it's 100.
What do you have to have to justify the purchase? Because this is separate from Red Zone.
Multiple TVs.
Right?
If you live in New York.
Yeah, I think it's separate from Red Zone. Or maybe Red Zone's included.
No, it's separate from Red Zone.
It's separate from Red Zone.
Red Zone comes with a lot of cable packages.
It all is
I just want to watch Red Zone.
It's so confusing to me. Okay, so now that you said that, so it's separate. Red Zone might be the thing I watch more.
I just want CBS and Red Zone.
Right.
And Fox, I guess.
Okay, but let's be honest here.
Okay.
People in New York bitch and moan all the time about how they only have the Giants and Jets available to them on local broadcasts. On half of the local broadcasts that you have been watching, listening in your car right now, over the last couple of years, has been the god-awful Houston Texans. Have there not been Sundays where you would have liked to have another option?
Right.
In that window.
Or
that is the only way to get
better
it.
Game.
Sunday Ticket.
Sunday
yes.
Ticket. That's a good
well,
point.
Red Zone. That's how I did it. I just watch Red Zone.
Some texters are pointing out there are other ways to watch whatever game you want. Sean is not nodding his head excitedly about it.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
You can sail the high seas and maybe
perhaps.
I'm always
nervous with sailing the high seas of that because, first off, my dad was someone who used to work in security software, and while I don't think he's the most technologically adept person, he has made me so paranoid about the idea of getting like viruses and stuff on your computer. The other part is I want to watch it on a TV. I don't want to have to watch it on my computer or something like that with these streaming services.
You can pull it up on
eventually
on some TVs, not all TVs.
Oh,
well,
eventually the NFL, every NFL game is going to probably be on the NFL app. Like the app that they're launching, that's going to be $5 a month. They're going to raise the price, like all apps do. And eventually, the NFL is probably. I mean, the way that we're going, kids today. God,
what's the most outrageous subscription that you've seen on your? On your banking statement before.
I think for me, I love Dateline and I love IndyCar, so I have to have Peacock. And I feel like I'm the only person I know that has Peacock.
You watch the cock, okay.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. What about you, Sean?
Luckily, the cock is included on Xfinity.
Same.
Yeah,
so. I got the same deal, baby.
I have Fubo.
I have Fubo as well, but I have Xfinity to get Fubo. Fubo's a little expensive.
If you can't afford any of these streaming services, you may need an OnlyFans, to which we begin our garbage time segment.
I was going to say the Houston Chronicle, because I pay $20 a month for that. Are you bleeping
kidding
me?
That's not as good of a transition. OnlyFans, garbage time.
Does the Houston Chronicle have an OnlyFans?
I don't know. John McClane, OnlyFans?
Oh, my God.
Joe Fee.
All right.
Sorry,
so
open.
Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen's daughter, who unfortunately, let's be honest, looks a little more like Charlie Sheen than Denise Richards, started an OnlyFans account. OnlyFans? Fans only? What is it? OnlyFans?
I wouldn't know.
And it, yeah, I'm sure.
No,
I
don't go there.
It began a discussion.
I go to places, but not there.
It began a discussion among them. Charlie Sheen had made a comment to the press if she had been living under my roof. I wouldn't have let her start that.
Yeah,
well,
my
she's
ass,
18,
dude.
So you can't really. So Denise Richards, in showing solidarity for her 18-year-old daughter, started an OnlyFans account. Is there, fellas, and anybody listening,
fellas,
studs, is there any old teen idol where if they
old
started
teen idol,
if they started an OnlyFans
Vanessa,
account,
what is up with you,
you
today?
You would subscribe. What? Why is an old teen idol an old heartthrob? Is there somebody?
It's weird the way that you're framing it.
Is there a former teen heartthrob?
That's it.
You would subscribe to their OnlyFans.
How about just
account?
Like a throwback heartthrob, as opposed to saying like the former teen makes it sound really creepy.
Yeah, because now I can't say anyone that I used to watch when I was a child on Disney Channel, and now I feel like a creep.
I would do John Stamos. I would subscribe to his OnlyFans. What about
you,
Sean?
He's a pretty boy, though.
But he's like, he's the Uncle Jesse.
There are rules changed,
Jesse,
don't they?
He is not a pretty boy. Uncle Jesse is rough and tough. He is Uncle Jesse and the Rippers. Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
He drives a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Not pretty. Somebody on the text line said Topanga, 2141. Yeah, that's a good one.
I never understood the Topanga appeal.
Because she's curvy and blonde.
I like the other two. I didn't like Topanga.
What about you, Sean? Former
I don't even know what show you're talking about. Oh.
Well, it's Boy Meets World. Not talking about the terrible spinoff of Boy Meets World, which is what, Girl Meets World now?
I never watched it.
I didn't either.
I couldn't do any of the spinoffs.
I refuse to. FeeGuy19 says Jennifer Love Hewitt, and that's the correct answer.
Oh, she's here. What about you, Sean?
I'm trying to think back of what. I remember Selena Gomez was one of my favorites from back
in
the day.
We're not creepy
at
all.
Like, she's just famous. She's not like a throwback now.
Yeah, she's not necessarily.
I don't get OnlyFans. I don't get it.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, hot. She's a good one.
What show is she?
Kelly Kapowski, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, I only know her as Kelly Kapowski. Wasn't there another show? Was she on like 90210 or something like that?
Yeah,
too?
She was. Okay. Christy Carlson Romano says 8029. That is an Even Stevens throwback. Wow, we're getting a lot
of. So it's a Nancy Pelosi.
Former teen idol Nancy Pelosi. 9563 says Kimmy the Pink Ranger is an OnlyFans account.
I'm sorry. I'm not participating in this. I'm creeped out. This is real weird. Hey, what if this girl gets an OnlyFans?
Christina Applegate. There's a lot of people that have opinions on this. You don't have a former teen
she was
idol
hot.
Back in the day?
I don't know. I think the idea of OnlyFans is weird.
I completely agree. I would never do it. Why people pay for
this
like when there's...
I feel like I'm on the radio saying, like, hey, get an OnlyFans.
Speaking of OnlyFans, garbage time continues. My boyfriend blew $10K on his OnlyFans addiction while I was nursing a newborn. This is a story in the New York Post. A Kansas mom has gone viral after revealing her baby daddy spent more than $10,000 on OnlyFans and was secretly chatting away with porn stars while she was pregnant. Got to throw the whole man out.
So...
$10,000 is so much money.
So much money.
Yeah, that
so much money.
That part is the weird part. I mean, dude, if you're horny, you have cheaper alternatives to a strip club and to OnlyFans.
How about we just cut it back? You know, $10,000. Let's try to get down to two.
Yeah.
I would say if you're spending anything more than $100 on that website, then like, I hope that you're feeling good about it after. When you see it on the credit card statement.
What if he's just a really happy guy, you know? And it's like, that's the secret to happiness.
You have to be sad to chat with porn stars. You have to be really sad. The director of an 80s movie, The Gremlins, thinks that Baby Yoda was copied from Gizmo the Mogwai.
Oh, okay. I thought we were about to talk about how Baby Yoda has an OnlyFans. Gizmo does kind of look like Yoda.
Some people are into that stuff.
But... it's legitimately a baby version of Yoda from Star Wars. So Gremlins would have to be able to prove that Yoda from Star Wars is a ripoff. And I'm pretty sure that Empire Strikes Back, where Yoda first appeared, 1980, I believe the movie was released, came out before Gremlins, which
there
I want to say is a late 80s movie.
Gremlins director Joe Dante, told the San Fran Chronicle, quote, Baby Yoda is completely stolen and just out and out copied from the cutest character in Gremlins. Shamelessly, I would think.
The character's not cute.
Not cute. I think it's a stretch to say, because like you said, I mean, Baby Yoda is everywhere. People love Baby Yoda.
Gremlins came out in 1984. Original Yoda came out in 1980. Yes, they made Yoda, Baby Yoda, a lot cuter, but it's a baby version of Yoda.
Right.
Of course it has to be cute. No, I think it's ridiculous, to this idea that it's a copy of the guy from Gremlins. This guy's trying to continue his 15 minutes of fame. How about don't make a terrible movie like Gremlins 2, The New Batch?
I've never seen the original Gremlins. I know you.
The original Gremlins is good.
Is the original Gremlins good?
It's a good Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's a good like kids Christmas movie kind of thing.
I just watched. Did anybody watch Muppet Christmas Carol?
Yeah, it's my.
Oh yeah,
that's
top
an
three.
Amazing Christmas.
Top
movie.
Three Christmas movie.
That is one of the most underrated Christmas movies ever.
There goes Mr. Humbug. There
yes!
goes Mr. Grimm.
Yeah.
He gave out an award for being mean. The winner would be him. Old Scroogey loves his money because he thinks it gives him power.
And I love National Lampoon's, don't get me wrong, but Muppets Christmas Carol is underrated for
sure.
Yeah,
I can quote that whole thing.
Nicole Eggert, Christina Ricci, some of you on the text line say a former teen heartthrobs, just making my co-hosts uncomfortable at this point.
Bonk, bonk, bonk,
started OnlyFans, you would submit to it.
Bonk.
All right, up next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you got the Killer Bees. Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham.
Bonk.
Bringing you in the 12 to 3 hour. They are, by the way, at Gentle Ben's Distillery in Alvin. Hope they have a good broadcast out there. Hope some of you are able to take the day off and make it out there and say hey to
them. Yeah.
That's been another edition of Vanessa and Gallant. Have a great day, guys.
Peace.
You're listening to ESPN.